It is good to have the opportunity to be with you today to tell you about, a trip that we began taking together about 8 months ago. It's a little bit of an unusual trip because usually when you travel with people that you know pretty well. But this is a trip that's a little bit different because with just a few exceptions, we don't really know each other. But what I hope we'll be able to do this morning is have an opportunity to do two things. Hope we'll have the opportunity to give you the opportunity to see a little bit about what our life is like in the work there together, and also to talk very specifically, but in a relatively limited period of time, about the work that we are doing together. Now, as we do this, I want to start out with something that is a little bit generational, and that is the idea of maps. When I was a kid, if we went somewhere, you had this Rand McNally Road Atlas, and some of you are looking at me like, what in the world was that? There hasn't always been GPS. And when I talk about some of the places that I go, and for those of you that follow the blog, you see names of places, and sometimes you think the names have to be misspelled because there needs to be a few vowels in it. These are real places. Places I preached in the past, they said, Bill, you just make some of that stuff up. But no, all of these places do actually exist, and what we've been doing is... Yeah, there it is. Most of our time in the Czech Republic and part of our time to the south in Bulgaria. And as we continue to look at this, I want to think about the Czech Republic a little bit. Czech Republic used to be Czechoslovakia. About 1993, they gave up on anybody being able to spell it. And so they divided it into two countries. Most of our time spent in Prague, part of our time spent in Brno, and some time spent in the Highlands. We'll talk about that just a little bit. And then moving on to Bulgaria. Most of the time in Sofia, but also spending some time near the Turkish border and near the Black Sea in a town called Sleven. So as we make this journey together, what is life like there? What I want to do very briefly is just give you a sense of kind of what our day-to-day life is like, and so you have a better sense of that. And I do this because very often people will ask me these questions, so I know people are curious about this kind of thing. What is life like? Well, to begin with, life is really, really busy. When I was looking at what I was doing in February and March, I've got this really cool wallpaper they have over there. You roll it onto your wall and it becomes a whiteboard. I don't just write on the wall in our apartment. And I started looking at it and thinking, wow, I've got about five different cities in three different countries over February and March where I'm doing lectures and preaching and leading tours and things of that sort. But it is also an opportunity to be in a very beautiful and historic place. If you've ever studied the Reformation movement, you probably read about a guy that we call John Huss. His name was actually Jan Hus. He was from this part of the world. And this is an area where he actually did part of his work. But it's also a place where the nature is very beautiful as well. And if you're like me, you like to be outdoors. And some of the best Bible studies I've ever had is in this park. Walking along with people and talking about not just the beauties of nature that our brother just prayed about a few minutes ago, but talking about things from the Word. Traveling through the mountains and the Balkans in Bulgaria. But it's also very cold. We spent the last 8 years in Florida, where my metabolism learned to appreciate flip-flops and a hoodie at the very most in the winter. We got there and thought we were well prepared for winter and found out we were not. But fortunately, winter loses. Winter loses the battle and spring has come there, and that's something that re-energizes people. What is life like? Life for me is spending a lot of time traveling. The Czechs have a little joke here. They call this backpack. They call that Bill's house on his back. Because most of the time that we are traveling is by train or walking or public transportation. In fact, when I got back to the States about 2 weeks ago, it was the first time I'd driven a car in 8 months. Fortunately, it's kind of like riding a bike. Getting around with the people in a city of 1.5 million and being able to do it in this kind of setting, where do we live? Well, this is where we live. Top floor of this building in the center of Prague, very well located because people that want to have Bible studies with us, we're easily accessible to them. We have an amazing Vietnamese restaurant downstairs, which has not been good for my waistline. Especially before Nancy was able to come over and join me, I'd buy my groceries and I would be determined I was going to cook this broccoli and stuff. And as I would walk by the restaurant, I would smell the food and put the broccoli in the refrigerator. It also meant having to start kind of a new life, which means not only having an apartment, but having furniture. And made a what for me was a nightmarish trip to IKEA. Is anybody here? Do we have IKEAs in this part of the world? IKEA, overwhelmed by that, and going in and finding this nice big couch. And when it showed up at our apartment, it was in a box about this big with 900 different parts. But that was fine too, because we turned it into a put the Bynum's furniture together party with some of our young people and had a really, really nice evening with that. It's about dealing with bureaucracy. Right now we're dealing with the problem of trying to get our residency extended for 2 more years. I think it will all work out, but the nightmare of dealing with Czech bureaucracy on issues like that is just as challenging as you might imagine. But I tell you what, we're blessed. We are blessed. We showed up at the foreign police office with a lawyer who's really good at this stuff and somebody we've known for more than 30 years and have loved for more than 30 years. As we stood in line, there was a Ukrainian girl, probably about 22 years old, standing behind us in line by herself. And I cannot imagine what the nightmare was like for her trying to deal with that. We've had about 400,000 Ukrainian refugees from the war come into our country. Most of them are in Prague. And every day in our neighborhood, you can see a long line of primarily of Ukrainian women standing outside an agency where they can get some food and maybe a sweater and things like that. No men in the line, because if you keep up with the news at all, you know the Ukrainian men are busy somewhere else doing something else. Very blessed in that. Opportunities to, well, go watch a friend's son play some basketball. In this case, it is a friend I've known for about 30 years now who, when he became a Christian, faced in his own mind a moral, conscientious dilemma. He was in the process of qualifying for the Czech Olympic team as a triathlete. But as he studied the Gospels and learned the Gospel, he decided that the demands of being an Olympic athlete did not fit well with seeking first the kingdom, and so he gave up his Olympic dream to become a child of God. Raising godly children and getting to go watch the boy play some basketball. It's a place where cultures meet. When we're in Bulgaria, we walk by this mosque every Sunday as we go to where the group of Christians in Bulgaria meet. If you could see a little better here, I like the way the screens are set up here. If you could see this a little more closely, you'd see there's a Star of David on that. And it's not far at all from where Christians meet. People able to function together, wide variety of cultures coming together, and in the case of Bulgaria, being able to do it peacefully. Now, it gets a little fringier when it comes to religion there. This is in our neighborhood in Prague. For all of your Wiccan and witchcraft needs, there is a store where you can go and buy what you need. This is about 2 blocks from our apartment. Traveling involves some challenges. This is not just a poorly focused picture. It's in Bulgaria. This picture is a little bit ironic to me because there's only one word on the entire timetable of the train station. This in English. And if you've only got departures there and nothing else in English, what good does it have the word departures? How does that help? Also, if you go to try to buy a ticket there, nobody in the entire place speaks English. So if you can't speak Bulgarian and you can't read this, then you're not going to get to where you need to go. Fortunately, we've been around there enough that language communication is not a problem for me. Lifelike. This looks like something my dad and I would have done when I was a kid. The electricity inside the apartment, I'm not sure this would meet code, even in our part of the world here, or something that 30 years ago was kind of funny to me. You walk down the street on the sidewalk, randomly there'll be pieces of rebar sticking up out of the sidewalk, about 2 inches out of the sidewalk. Trust me when I say you can stub your toe on that, and you can even occasionally trip. Strange things. People often ask about what the worship is like. This was a picture from a 3 weeks ago in the city of Brno, our little storefront meeting place there that we just rent for a couple of hours on Sunday, is right by a pizza place that has outdoor seating. And it was a nice enough day. People were outside. These guys have their beers and their cigarettes. And our window, our big window there, has a ledge on it. So they're using our ledge to sit their beers on and smoke their cigarettes. And, you know, Brother Plunkett, think about some distractions you've had in life while you're preaching. Looking out and seeing that about 10 feet away, kind of a distraction there. But I'll tell you something kind of nice about it. At one point, we realized they had stopped their conversation and they were listening to what was going on inside. I think just maybe this is their opportunity to hear something that's going to make them curious and make a difference in their lives. What do people eat there? Well, we have McDonald's, but this is one of the more popular things. This is garlic. This is toast. This is a combination of raw hamburger combined with raw eggs. It's called tatarak. The taste is not bad, but I make it a point to try not to eat it days before I travel, especially if I'm going to be traveling by train. When we go to Bulgaria, we splurge. I have a confession to make. We splurge. When we make that 5-hour each way train trip, we go first class, which adds about $2 to the ticket and means we have better facilities. And the facilities means it's a this is Middle Tennessee. Y'all know what an outhouse is. Just imagine an outhouse on wheels. And they solved that gender issue about seat up or seat down by gluing the seat down. What is life like? In some ways, a lot like here. People enjoy spending time together. When they have birthdays, they have birthday parties together. They like to go out and take walks. They like to go to movies. They enjoy sports. For all the cultural differences you might see, there are a whole lot of similarities. But I will say this, and I'll say this in a group where we've got just a few people that are older. I'll tell you something interesting about this that I didn't know how I felt about the other day. Somebody asked me about the age of the Christians in the Czech Republic, and I thought about it, and I realized by a little bit, I am the oldest person there. I'm 58 years old, and of the Christians and the churches across the country, I'm the oldest person there. But for elderly people in the country, people who have some kind of disabilities, life there is incredibly difficult. One of the Christians in Bulgaria's mom has become essentially homebound because she's elderly, she has serious heart issues. And to get up to their apartment in a building that has no elevator, she has to climb about 100 steps. And it is just essentially a given that one of these days she's not going to make it to the top because of the challenges, the difficulties that... It's just kind of hard for us to imagine sometimes. What does it mean? What does it bring together? A couple of thoughts I want to think about. It's the importance of being able to become all things to all men. Not showing up as an American, I know all the answers. I can tell you everything, and these are the 10 ways that your culture is inferior to ours. You got a weird language, and I don't like the sound of it, so I don't plan on ever learning any of it. The kind of challenges that presents. I was telling somebody the other day, I had an experience, kind of a mixed feelings about. I'd gone to a pharmacy, and I was talking to the pharmacist about dosages and stuff like that. And she was getting frustrated, and I was getting frustrated, and finally we got it all sorted out. And I feel kind of bad about it. But then it hit me. She didn't think that I didn't speak Czech. She just thought I was stupid. And that made me feel so much better. But just little things like that about being able to go in and communicate with people in their own language is the kind of thing that just makes it makes all the difference in the world. And then being able to be content in the circumstances in which we find ourselves and realize how incredibly blessed we are. So as we think about life there, I want to move on to thinking about the work that we are doing together. And I'm kind of sorry that Marlon fixed the clock, but I do know where it is, and I'm going to keep an eye on that. Three things about the work, three kinds of work that I want to think about. There's some very special events that we have developed over the years there. There's some unusual opportunities that we have. And then there's our day-to-day work in the Lord that people generally think about when they think about what preachers do. What's the kind of thing that I'm talking about? Every year we spend a week together in some town not too far from Prague. We have Christians from up to a half a dozen countries that come together just to spend a week together in Bible study. Anybody wants to come to this? I'll give you the information. We have Americans that show up to this sometimes as well. We have a special theme that we focus on. This year we're going to be talking about 2 Corinthians. We bring in a couple of speakers from the States. They're involved in this. And people plan their years around this. They plan their vacations around this. The opportunity to come together to be a part of this. We have a family who lives out in the beautiful Czech Highlands. Big rambling farmhouse out there that they got back in restitution after the fall of communism. And periodically they invite everybody for a long weekend to come for Bible study. We'll have sometimes, I'll do eight or nine sessions in a weekend. Different topics. In fact, they're hungry enough for that that a couple of years ago we found out the train was going to be delayed and there was an extra hour. And Mark said, "Well, Bill, do you know anything else? We've got another hour. can we have another Bible study?" Special get-togethers. All of the guys there preach. There's just not anybody in any of the churches that will not take their turn preaching. But they realize that they want to improve their skills. So we spent a weekend together. The guys spent a weekend together where everybody developed a sermon and they presented it. And everybody had the opportunity to talk not only about their process of research and their material, but their presentation and how all of that can be improved. Not because they aspire to be full-time preachers, but they appreciate the importance of sharing the message and they want to do it as well as they possibly can. Every second month we get together in Prague, and I think some of you folks here know this young lady. She's from Middle Tennessee. We get together every second month for a day of study in Prague. People travel for as much as 3 hours in each direction. We have a morning session and an afternoon session, and people just stay and stay and stay because they appreciate the opportunity to be together with other Christians. Folks, the situation there is something that's hard for you to wrap your minds around. I mean, we're Middle Tennessee. I grew up in North Mississippi. We're Bible Belt people. A few years ago, I had a teenage girl, a daughter of one of the families there. We were having a study, and she said, the young people there call me Uncle Bill. What do you do when you're the only person in your entire school that believes in God? And I said, "Yana, you mean you're the only person in your class?" She said, "No, I'm the only person in my entire school that believes there is a God." And I'm kind of slow. I started to say sometimes, probably most of the time. But I said, "You're the only person in your entire school that believes in God." She said, "Well, there is one boy who's a Muslim, but I didn't count him." Parents, kids, can you imagine a situation like that? That's the circumstances that they deal with there. For opportunities for public lectures. And that's been something that not only in Brno, for example, we're able to rent out a room in the old town hall there, which means it's 600 years old. and people come in. We've gotten to the point that if we don't have about 20 walk-in visitors off the street, they're all kind of down about it. Like, wow, we only had 15 visitors for this one. What we found out is because of their interest in things like history and archaeology and the Bible, we do that. It does well. I've been teaching history for a university in Texas online for more than a decade now. That kind of gives me some credentials that they appreciate when they're coming in for the lectures. People showing up in Prague as well. Not long ago, we had three college students show up just because they saw the ad in the paper. Three girls that are sitting there taking notes as we talk about the history and the archaeology of the Old Testament. We're setting up Bible studies out of this, and people are asking for more material. They're accessing the videos that we have online. Just an exciting part of what we're doing, not just because of the material that's being presented, but also because of the involvement of everybody. You know, I look out and I see the visitors coming in, and I'm excited about this, but when I see one of our young ladies here, Tereska, who's helping put out the free material that we give away, seeing the parents appreciating the importance of having their young people involved in that and helping with that is something that's very encouraging as well. Bible study that we have in our apartment in Prague. Once a month, the Christians in Prague show up for that, not only spending some time in Bible study, but just people having the opportunity to come together. Some of the people that travel for that travel an hour in each direction because they want to be there. They want to be a part of that. And part of that is some of the wonderful, wonderful young people that are there for it. And again, the parents appreciate the importance of their children growing up to know Jesus. The work also involves some kind of unusual situations that lend themselves to the preaching of the gospel. Not too long ago, in a city in Bulgaria that's origins go back to the first century Roman Empire, spent a day with a husband and wife that are not yet Christians. I believe they're very near the kingdom. But we were able to talk about the gospel and the preaching of the Apostle Paul as we went through first century Roman ruins and talked about his experiences as we did that. One of the Christians in Prague has created not only an amazing but a unique Bible study website. And one of the things that we're doing with that is we're adding videos. As we have opportunity, it's a short flight from Prague to Tel Aviv. We make trips occasionally to do that. We shoot videos that are going online. This is ancient Shechem. We almost died in a terror attack there a few months ago, so I'll always be remembering that place. And not too long ago, we had the opportunity to go to Berlin. Now, why were we in Berlin? This is a little bit of a generational thing here, but anybody recognize? Anybody know what this is? A lot of people don't. This is a kind of thing that absolutely changed the preaching of the gospel in our lifetime, our generation. The fall of the Berlin Wall. We didn't go to see Brandenburg Gate, but when I saw Brandenburg Gate, I kind of teared up because I thought, how much difference has this made in the life of millions and millions and millions of people over the last 30 years? Why were we there? A group of people had asked me to go and lead them on a tour of the Pergamon Museum. Again, it's the kind of thing that sort of fits academically into my wheelhouse. Talk about Babylon? We'll go see the reconstructed from the original parts of the Ishtar Gate there. Or walking through a museum like that and be able to say, hey, you know why this matters? This little stone here is important. This little stone's important because 2 Kings 25 talks about Jehoiachin being in captivity and how he was given daily rations by the king. And this is the official Babylonian document that names him by name and not only tells that he was fed on a daily basis, but how much he got. Verification of the biblical text in something like this. And it matters not only for the people in this group that I led that are Christians, but for the one person in this group that's an agnostic and another person in this group that's an atheist. As we could walk through and talk about these things, and at one point the young man who's an atheist said, man, I'm sorry I'm asking so many questions. I got to be wearing you out. I said, no, actually you're not. Keep asking, try, you know. Give it your best shot wearing me out. Give it your best shot of having me throw in the towel and surrender and say no more questions. That's just not going to happen. Opportunities like that. And then day-to-day opportunities in the Lord, the kind of thing you think about when you think about a preacher preaching somewhere. Sundays in Bulgaria. The church in Sofia is an absolutely amazing church for a lot of reasons, including the makeup of it. Give me a minute, I'm going to try to run through the list there. In the church there, about 50 coming together on Sundays. We have Bulgarians. We have an American family that works at the embassy. We have a young lady from South Africa. We have some people from Ghana. We have some people from Nigeria. We have some Egyptians. We have some Russians. And we have some Ukrainians. That all come together, sit together, sing together, pray together, love each other, and take care of each other. Because they have come to recognize what Paul talked about in Philippians 3 when he said, our citizenship is in heaven. That whatever passport we may carry and whatever name of whatever country may be on the front of that, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we serve King Jesus. And we're all part of one family because of that. Did you catch those names that ran through the list? And the potential prejudices and issues that could arise from people coming together from those nations? Just one of the things that makes it an amazing group of people to be with. You got at this table, we had a potluck the second Sunday we were there, the last trip. You got this family of Egyptians sitting right here, and you got the husband and wife of the Ghanans that are there. There's even potential for conflict there that you may not realize. But that kind of relationship of people coming together in the gospel, having the opportunity to be together with the church in Prague after them having gone through some difficulties over a protracted period of time, seeing them back together and loving each other and doing well, seeing people in the city of Brno, the small group there, small in part because they keep baptizing people and they keep moving away, but still meeting together. When Jesus talked to the church in Thyatira, he talked about their victory. And at one point as he talked about their victory, he talked about, you know, just hang on to what you got. And sometimes in the face of adversity and things like that, hanging on to what you got is winning. And various means, they're still baptizing people. Taking advantage of technology. Not much good came out of COVID, but a few things did. One of the things that came out of COVID that was good was we figured out ways we could study together we'd never thought about before. Every Wednesday I have a Bible study with Christians and non-Christians from anywhere from 2 to 4 countries, and we all get together on Skype. In fact, I've been doing it since I've been here. I've had 3 Bible classes this week with people scattered across Eastern Europe using Skype, things we had not previously imagined. The opportunities that presents, and even Christians getting to know each other that because of geographical limitations and challenges would not have been able to. Being able to spend time with individuals like Biss in the eastern part of Bulgaria, who for the last number of years has to a great degree been kind of the backbone, the go-to guy, the one you could always count on in the church in Bulgaria, despite the challenges that he faces. He could be living anywhere in the world, making an incredible amount of money. He's not only a programmer, but he's a team director for VMware. And he said job offers everywhere. But he stayed in Bulgaria with the challenges that are there because he knows that he's needed by the Christians there. That kind of courage, that kind of determination. Opportunities to study with somebody like Zdenek. He had a lecture in Brno and said, hey, I'm going to be in town for a couple of days before I go back to Prague. Anybody want to have a Bible study tomorrow or the next day or whenever? And he said, well, why can't we go somewhere tonight? There's a coffee shop across the street. Why can't we go to the coffee shop across the street? I got some questions for you. People like that, being able to study with the leaders, the spiritual leaders of the Christians there tomorrow, Christian leaders there from the day after tomorrow. And think about the importance of the work there and preparing generations to come. And I'll finish with this. I got this message not long ago at all. There's one of the Christians in Brno, you saw his picture a little bit ago, that I've known for almost 30 years, and I'd like to think I've had some spiritual impact on his life. Well, about 6 years ago, we baptized a guy that found him through the website, and he has grown and done wonderfully well. This guy, that you might call second generation, just accommodatively for communication purposes, sent me a text 3 weeks ago, a month ago, said, Bill, there's another policeman that I've been studying with, and we're talking about baptism. Could you either change your sermon for tomorrow, or could you do something to be sure it's, you know, that it fits well with it? I said, yeah, we can do that. And did that and met the guy. And later on WhatsApp, Tomasz sent me this message that said in part, Yurka has decided that he wants to be baptized. He wants to be part of the family of God. And I thought about that over the 30 years that I've been doing this stuff. I used to think the coolest thing in the world was to meet somebody that didn't know about Jesus and have the opportunity to tell them personally about it. But I've decided there may be something even better than that. And that's helping to teach somebody who's teaching somebody who's teaching somebody about Jesus. What that says about the power of the gospel and the spread of the word and the brightness of the future in a place like that. What do we hope to accomplish with something like this, what we're doing today? Well, I think in part what we're doing is what Acts 14:27 and Acts 15:3 talk about. You have preachers coming back from preaching in new places and they share the information about the spread of the gospel, because that provides the opportunity for brethren in other places to feel the kind of joy that he talks about, that Luke writes about in Acts 15:3. And also to think about the relationship. I said in the beginning that we're on a journey together. That wasn't just a hook line to try to get you interested. That's absolutely true. When Paul would write to the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1, he talks about their long relationship in the gospel and how he gave thanks for them because of their interest in that, their support of that, and the fact they had enabled him to go. And then in chapter 4, he would talk about the fact that, you know, what he was doing wasn't something that was credit to him, but that it was credit that abounded to their accounts. We are on a journey together in Eastern Europe, and I hope you feel that. And you are very much with us, not only because you are enabling us, helping to enable us financially, but the encouragement that you provide, the prayers that I know you're praying for us, we're all doing this together. So we can rejoice together, we can be interested in this together, and feel that in a sense, in one sense, this is how we are taking the gospel to the world. Why is this so important? Because there's nothing more important than people coming to know about Jesus. There's a dark, dark, sad world out there that needs the light of the gospel because people are lost in sin. Jesus left heaven. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But to those that did, He gave the right to become the children of God. And that's the message that we're still sharing. That's the message we're sharing together over there. And that's the message you guys are sharing together here in Middle Tennessee. It may be that this morning there's somebody here whose life's not right with God. You need that gospel message. Either to become a child of God, I guarantee you, if there's somebody here this morning that's not a Christian who wants to become a Christian, these folks will help you out. Or if there is a Christian here this morning that needs your spiritual family praying with you and for you, there'll be some prayers said this morning as well. If there is a spiritual need that the folks here can help you address, won't you let it be known as we sing the song that's been announced?